Heavenly Father, we thank you for God, your presence. Thank you for your active and powerful moving, God, glory that is in our lives. Lord, we invite you, God, to move through your word in this place, God, that you would have glory and that we would be moved to action. God, help us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're on this series on the attributes of God. I hope with some visual effect that you see that if you are a creature of light, that you are different than the creature of darkness. One of the primary, you know, things about creatures of light and creatures of darkness is their diet. You know, a plant is a creature of light, you know, and other creatures of light eat things that are creatures of light, and they take on a certain kind of attribute. Creatures of darkness, you know, as we see invisibly, I believe that's done so that God, we could, by God, so that we could discern, how things are. So we saw the fish that live in the deep sea. You know, I didn't show you the picture of fungus and mold that grow in the dark and so forth, but you get the picture. And Christians, we're called the children of light because God is light. That's an attribute of God, that he is light. And that we are children of light, that means we are ruined to darkness. It's not to say that we don't have cravings for darkness. It's just that we're ruined. When we are in it, it's not as satisfying as somebody who doesn't know the light. And over time, it just ruins you. And I think I've shared this story when I was in my bed, having gone out, you know, trying to party it up, coming back home, so empty, crying out, you know, like, God, where are you? You saved me when I was in sixth grade. I'm a high school senior. Where are you? Because deep down inside, I belonged with God. And so that's, you know, so that means your craving for popularity is still there. Your craving for the approval of people is still there. You just deep inside know that that's not going to be truly satisfying. I think when you're a little kid, you might prefer ice cream. As you grow older, you realize when you're hungry, you don't want ice cream. You might want to have ice cream later. But you want food, real food. And so we have this understanding about ourselves as children of light. We turn on the Christian radio, we read books and listen to sermons, and we're like, we can't get enough of it. We need light because there's so many spots of darkness in our lives, aren't there? If you've been injured and hurt in the past, there's patches of darkness. And you want to shine light in that, to bring healing in that. And that's really difficult. Sometimes you sit down with counselors so that you can now begin to have the light come in those dark places. The thing about the light, I'm sensitive to light, especially when I'm trying to go to sleep, or even when I am asleep. So I have room darkening blinds. And the way that it irks me, because when I give them a measurement, they, you know, don't want the blinds to, you know, not fit. So they take it in, you know, by so many fractions of inches. And it irritates me because those little slits allow so much light in, it almost defeats the purpose of having room darkening blinds. So I have to, you know, give them extra measurements so it can fit as tight as I can. And in my room, and don't go in there because it's kind of a mess right now. It's always actually kind of been a little bit of a mess, partly due to my fault. But anyway, I have a t-shirt hanging there trying to cover up that slit. I think I have some pillowcase covering up that slit. I do what I can, right, on my side. I think I measured a window on Ellen's side pretty well. But you get the point. Light is powerful. Once it hits a room, whoom, you know, Like, you don't appreciate how bright a slit of light can be, you know? It's just, it's powerful. But here's the other thing. Like, there's the discipline of God, and then there is this invitation of God's people in welcoming that light. Like, you're not going to finish well if you continue throughout your life just resisting the light. Like, I have injuries from the past. I'm psychologically damaged. I don't want any light in that. I don't want any light. I don't want to talk about my past. I don't want to talk about those things. That means I have a permanent dark spot. At some point, God's going to bring you to a place, and hopefully you can begin that invitation, okay, to bring light into those dark places, because dark places cause you to feel alone. It's lonely to have dark spots in your soul. And God is, and there is an invitation. God is not, because a relationship with God is not just forced. It's not a series of spankings. That is not what this relationship with God is. It's not that God doesn't discipline. It's just, he's not just gonna discipline you throughout your life. It's not going to be a coercive relationship. At some point, you got to say to yourself, I'm a child of the light. I welcome truth. I welcome debate. I welcome correction. I welcome these things because that's what light is. If you constantly have a sign on your forehead, don't talk to me about past things, soft spots. I don't want to talk about them. Don't challenge me. Don't correct me. If you have that posture, you're rejecting the light. I want to watch a video, and I don't mean to geek out on you. Fortunately, it's a little long. I should have sliced it a little bit better, but that's just my, I'm not June here. I can't edit videos that well. So we're going to have to watch the whole thing. But this is the basis of quantum mechanics. This is why you get to have a nice fast computer and such a tiny little watch, because of this property of quantum physics. And at the macro level, it's called classical physics, you know? Force equals ma, mass times acceleration, and all kinds of stuff. But at the quantum, at this microscopic, this atomic level, it doesn't work like that. But I want us to see, without being too geeky about it, so you can see there are two properties that we want to look at that I've talked about in the past.
I'm going to explain to you what's known as the central mystery of quantum mechanics. It was Richard Feynman, the American physicist, said, this is the central mystery of quantum mechanics. There's lots of weird stuff that goes on in the quantum world. Hit you with this, and it basically tells you what it's all about. It's called the two-slit experiment. I'll start with this. Imagine you have a source of light shining against a screen with two slits. Now, for the pedants in the audience, this source of light has to be monochromatic light, light of a particular wavelength. Well, whereas, of course, a light bulb is white light, and that's made up of all the colors of the spectrum, lots of different wavelengths. But imagine this is just a single wavelength of light, and you can see the light is coming out in waves like ripples in a pond. That's the nature of, you know, wave-like behavior. As the light hits the screen, it squeezes through the two slits, and each slit in turn on the other side becomes almost like a new source of light. And the light spreads out. It diffracts. And as the waves of light overlap, they will interfere with each other. So where a crest hits a trough, they will cancel. Where a crest hits a crest, they will amplify, and so on. And so on the back screen, you end up with what's called an interference pattern, a series of light and dark fringes where the waves have either cancelled out or worked together in phase. That's fine. That's not quantum mechanics. That's a property of light that goes back over 200 years that we've known about since the early 19th century. Imagine doing the same experiment again, but doing it not with waves, but with particles. Do it with grains of sand. So this is the same experiment, but I've tipped it 90 degrees. rather than waves that are spread out that wash up against the two slits and squeeze through, here you've got individual particles of sand, and each particle will either go through one slit or the other. And so you see they will sort of drain through and you get two bumps underneath each of the slits. So the two peaks is reminiscent of particle-like behavior, whereas the multiple pattern of interference is wave-like behavior. What if we do the same experiment with atoms? Well, so imagine we have an atom gun, something that can fire atoms, a stream of atoms. You can't see them because they're very small. Let's block off one of the two slits. So these two slits are you know, the dimensions and separation of the slits is chosen appropriately to show us how atoms do things. And so far, so good. Nothing strange here. You'll see a lot of atoms hitting the back screen. So this will now have to be some sort of photosensitive screen whereby when an atom hits it, it'll give off a little flash of light to say the atom has arrived here. So the atoms are arriving as these little pinpricks of light that we see. Of course, a lot of the atoms will be blocked by the first screen. They won't go through that slit. But those that do get through to the other side, you can see there's a bit of spreading of the atoms. But if we didn't know anything about atoms, we'd say, well, that's fine, we can understand that. A lot of the atoms are going clean through the slit. Some are sort of maybe bouncing off the edge of the slit, and so they're sort of being deflected a bit, which is why you get a bit of a spread. The first mystery of quantum mechanics comes when we open the second slit. Because now we see something that's very much like the interference pattern we got with light. Rather than having two bands of spots where the atoms have gone through the two slits, it's as though the atoms have gone through the slits behaving like waves, and you get interference of the waves and you get these bands.
What does that have to do with this sermon? Absolutely nothing, other than I think it's kind of cool, but no, I'm just kidding. There are properties of light, and scripture does the same thing. It says the light of God is both truth and it is also deeds. And it reflects it like that. So that means when we receive, so when we saw in Exodus, it says, you know, when Moses asked to see the glory of God, right? And after he saw the glory of God, Moses' face shined, right? And it was correlating glory to light, and there's other places that does that because he uses the same qualities of light, like mercy and grace, just like when God gave Moses his glory, he gave him his name and said, I am merciful and gracious and steadfast love and so forth. So the light of God is actually the truth or the words of God. And it also depicts, but those words are not just words. They're not static, right? You don't just receive, like God is not love. If you want to know how come God created this world the way it is, because it depicts the qualities of God. He can't create a world that doesn't depict that he's loving and merciful and gracious. If you say, well, how about a sinless world? It would be, how do you know when you're in heaven, right, that God is forgiving? How do you know that he's merciful? This aspect of life is absolutely critical in understanding God, but his words are not static. So if you receive the love of God, which is part of the name of God, isn't it? God is love. That means that love is not just, you didn't receive a word or an idea. That now begins to move and work, and it's got to go somewhere. So if you say, I love you, God, be careful. I love you, God, comes with all the array of actions, patience, kindness, these acts. God, I'm willing to to sacrifice myself and do things that go beyond my natural inklings. Otherwise, you can't say you love God. You can't say, I love you, honey. When you say, I love you, dear wife, I love you, dear her husband, you're saying, I'm going to be doing stuff that make you love. That defines, there's an action to it. When you say, I forgive you, you don't just say, I forgive you. That means I am committed never to bring it up. I will remember your sins no more, right? As far as the east is from the west, I will remember your sins no more. That's forgiveness. That means you're not going to bring it up and attack somebody, okay, in the future argument. You're not going to use it as a club to hammer people with. That's what that is. Words are actions. We're going to begin to see that. So we have these dual properties of light. And we see that in Philippians 2:14. It says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Grumbling and disputing blocks light. It blocks light. You can do the act, but it's not light. That's your light. That's you doing stuff. It isn't powered by the light that comes from God. That's why when you do stuff, oh, I can't believe I got to go to Delta. Don't do that. And you're wondering, if you keep grumbling and going to Delta, you're wondering, why am I having such a difficult time at Delta? You're not doing it with the light of God. You're doing it on your own strength. Try not to grumble. Never to even think about grumbling. Never share your grumbling. And try to do something with a positive and good attitude. When I say positive, I'm talking about true attitude. Okay? And why am I saying that? That you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That's how you shine. By doing things. But he also says, holding fast to the word. That means it's both, isn't it? You don't just do things without holding fast the word. Now, if the word of God isn't true to you and you doubt God's word, then obviously you're not shining light. You're remembering that all your sacrifices are yes and amen. That means they're investments in the kingdom. It's also realizing these are not got-tos, they're get-tos. It's a privilege to serve God, to be useful. Nobody gets more out of serving than you do. Nobody gets more out of pastoring than I do. Don't pretend as if God owes you or somebody owes you when you serve. And any thoughts to the contrary, don't think them, because they block light. And if you are a grumbler and a complainer, you probably don't have much light in your life. It's true. And you're wondering why the Christian life is so difficult. And it says, so that, here's the reasoning coming, in the day of Christ, I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. You know what you're going to be proud of? At the end of all days, you know, thank goodness that the light of God shined through me, right? Shined through me. And, you know, the blinds were up. No room darkening here. Light comes in, light goes out. Okay, carrying God's light. Let's talk about, okay, what does it mean to carry light? John 17:22, the glory, okay, another way of saying light, that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them as even as you loved me. See, when we receive the glory of God, we receive the name of God, we receive the light of God. But here's the thing. It's not just I received God's mercy. That mercy is a wave of action. That means when you receive mercy, and we'll talk about it next week as we talk about, you know, the other aspect of God's light. That means when you receive mercy, you are committed. You know that parable in Matthew 18? You know, the king forgives the servant, but the servant doesn't turn around and forgive the other servant. When you receive mercy, that mercy works in you, right? To help you realize, no matter what anybody's ever did, it's never going to be unforgivable. No matter how other people might have hurt me, it's nothing compared to how much the king has forgiven me. Nothing. That is, you stand on that central truth. You can never be offended. You're never entitled. Okay? And you're never deserving. We're utterly humble by his mercy. And you know what? That's a great place to be. It's a great place to be. We forget it because we're so offended by other people hurting us. And we forget how much we have been, right? How much mercy we received. Whatever anybody does against us, it pales. The thing about it is, all that grace and mercy we received allows us then in return to show mercy and shine as light. And that light is what we share. That causes us to be one. How we shine is, the reason we shine is because the Holy Spirit lives in us. And we are one with the Holy Spirit. And the thing is, there's an aspect to that. Yes, God's going to discipline us. We go wayward. But at some point, though, it's a relationship, isn't it? Look, I can tell you, you're never going to be close to your children if all you got is spanking. Do you know what I'm saying? Discipline is important, but it's just a tool in your tool bag, right? Without love, it means nothing, nothing. Loving God, right, is different, right? It is not just words. It's action too. Romans 8:9, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. We're in the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. If the qualities of God, love, mercy, are not emanating from you, how can you say you have the Spirit of Christ? That's what Paul's saying. It's got to shine because it came in. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. John 5:43, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? How can you be a Christian if being popular and getting thumbs up on Facebook and TikTok and Instagram, if that's more important than you, and you're structuring your life so that other people can think well of you, and you're so tight with your finances because you got to get other people to respect you, and it causes you not to be generous, not to, you know, have fellowship. We're worrying about things where other people's opinions are driving you. And if other people's opinions drive you, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another? It's that man-made light that we see in the deep sea, those creatures with that artificial light. How can you believe? You're not seeing things properly. Psalm 112, light dawns in the darkness for the upright, meaning the children of God. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. These are the qualities of the glory of God and the name of God. Okay, shining God's light. Okay? These are the wave-like properties, I like to call it. Wave upon wave. It's action. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. You. When you become a child of God, you become a light. Because light resides in you, the Holy Spirit, and you become one with the light. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp but put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. You can't contain that light. When you receive the love of God, the mercy of God, when you receive it, it's like energy can't be destroyed. Like you got this energy now, right? And it's gonna produce good works. What is good works? Giving mercy, helping out your neighbor, being giving and generous. These are the actions. Because why? Look, when God loves us, He's moving everything in the universe in such a way as to optimize the best outcome for you. God will change everything. He will do all things, right? Everything He can, right? Towards the good of those who love Him. God is not static. He's constantly. We're not the sum of our successes and failures. We're not. I can honestly say that. I stand before you as a high school flunky, all right? Addicted to more things than I can remember. I stand before you to say, look, I'm not the sum of my successes and failures. Because God does things. His love is, He doesn't just talk the talk, right? His love walks the walk, you know? And we're just talkers. You know, at some point you got to move from the stands in this arena down to the arena. But it starts with the invitation. God, let your light shine through. Let it take effect. Let it reach those dark places. That no-go. God, don't go there. Don't go there. When people are speaking to you, here's the one thing. Do you have authority issues? That's a red flag. Light's not getting through if you have authority issues. You're wondering why Christian life is so difficult because you have and we're going to talk about this more next week. But the point is, light brings forth good works. In such a way as not to glorify you, but to glorify God. Ephesians 5:8. For at one time you were darkness. He didn't say you were a child of darkness. He just says you were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. If you're light in the Lord, what does it say? Walk. Don't talk. I love it. In today's generation, I know so many people who talk about books. You know, talk about their favorite speaker. You know, I listen to Desiring God. I listen to, you know, this and I watch that. And, you know, I go to these concerts and I turn on, you know, 91.9. And there's so much stuff out there. And I would say, and they are good things. But we're not defined by how much we know. Okay, we are defined by how we walk. With what we know. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and true. You know? It's like you know when you know, right? And try to what? Discern what is pleasing to the Lord. You know, we're trying to say, hey, God, what pleases you? We wake up in the morning, right? Do we care that God is pleased with our actions? If we have authority issues, right? If we have, you know, grumbling problems, right? We have a light problem. We have a light problem. the dark blinds are coming down. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. See, God's love is not just, oh, I love you, Henry. He doesn't just tell me with good feelings. He does that too, by the way. You'll be reading or you'll be praising or praying and you feel that love of God. There's nothing like it, right? Doesn't happen all the time, but when it happens, you love it. But that's not why you know God loves you. You know God loves you because you love him. And you trust him. And you just know you've been loved. Things have happened in your life, you know? I mean, God orchestrated ways to meet other believers and, you know, it's just, you know God loves you. And he says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. He's saying he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God. You cannot, if you don't love your brothers, I'm not talking talk. I'm saying is if you've not have friendships in this church, right? Like your brothers and sisters, and you say, I have the love of God in me. It's difficult to say I have the love of God in me if that love is static. That's not God's love. God's love moves. You can't take that wave of love, okay, and become static with it. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must. It's not an option. You know how you open the blind? You know, this is the invitation, okay? I told you, when you welcome the light, you say, God, let the light in, right? So that that light can go out, right? You got to open it both ways. You don't just open one. God, give me your light because I feel lonely and I feel horrible and I feel miserable and sad, right? And God will give you light. But if that other blind is closed and that light can't get out, you know, you can't say light is coming in, because when you say let the light in, okay, you got to let that light out. 1 John 3:17. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? The answer is you can't. If that light's not going out, you can't contain that light. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. I mean, it's, you know, it takes careful thinking and thoughtfulness. So when we want, God, I need more of your love, what we're saying is, God, let your love flow through me. If you want all that water, okay, to come through, look, a Christian is a flowing river, folks. It's not a static pond. There's only so much water you can take in a pond before it floods. It's got to go somewhere. So also, James 2:17, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. What James is saying is, how do you prove that you have faith? You love. You care for people. You think about people. You have people come and correct you because you're not loving in a good way. So you then change the way you do that. You're flexible, right? You're not so easily offended. These are things, okay? That's how you know you're a child of God. If you just know things, that doesn't make you a child of God. That's just insane. Light. It's gotta move. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The one thing about engaging in a relationship with God, and this is where we, you know, I was watching a documentary on Hillsong. It's a tragic documentary, you know, about the Hillsong culture and the fall of Carl Lentz and Bron Houston. And like, they were trying to, you know, and it was both Christians and the non-believers were, I think, together in making this documentary. But they're good at manipulating emotions, you know, the feel-good stuff. It's the kind of Christianity that makes you feel good without you ever having to take up the cross. You know, the 21st century Christianity. You know, you sing your songs, you have your favorite things, you want to feel better. It's the psychology for today wrapped up, right, in your faith. And they are masters at it. Masters. And when you listen to what Christ is saying, he's like, okay, take up your cross, right? And follow me. Like, having a relationship with God, allowing more light in, right? To want the light is to take up your cross. And John says the same thing. He says, 8:12, John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. How do you follow Jesus? Take up your cross. We're so disappointed, you know? I'm the same way, you know? I go to Delta every week, or sometimes I don't go to every week, but, you know, I got other things going on too, guys. Come on. Give me a break. All right. The point is, when I do something and I don't expect to pick up the cross and do something, and I find that to be very difficult because my mind isn't prepared for it. I remember when I was, playing soccer, I went to tryouts and all it was is running. We ran and ran and ran for like a couple of hours. I had shin splints and we still ran and ran. That was tryouts. I was a freshman. And I did not anticipate when I ran cross country. I think I told you this. They had me go out for a run. Okay, guys, I've never ran cross country, but I wanted to get in shape, you know, for soccer. And they say, okay, let's go. Okay, guys, go out for a run. Now that meant a certain thing to these folks because they've been training all summer. Okay. Cause you don't just, you know, come, you know, cause cross country was in the fall and they started running and I was like, okay. And it was getting really tough for me. Right. And then, you know, like, you know, we did it and we came back. I was like, you know, this ain't too bad. I mean, it was hard, not too bad. And the coach goes, okay, now that we're done with our warm-ups, okay. All right. Let's go out. And it was like some 10, 12 mile run. And I was like, my jaw hit the ground. I did not anticipate. Okay. I did not anticipate it was going to be hard. I did not count my cost. I was shocked at how hard it was. I was floored. Following Christ, you got to go, folks, what Jesus is saying is it's not going to be easy. It's not for the faint of heart. If you want to lounge around, like, you know, get in the man cave mode, me time, like, if you want all that, I deserve a break today, the Burger King commercial. If you want that kind of Christianity, right? That's a different kind of Christianity, but that's not the one Jesus is talking about. The one Jesus is talking about, he says, take up your cross. Take up your cross. It's going to be hard, folks. Not going to be easy. We're so shocked by this in the modern century. We're so shocked that walking the faith is hard. It's not easy. That's why we need each other. If you don't need each other, you're probably not walking the faith. You can't walk it alone. It says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. But you got to take up the cross to follow. But what is the promise? The promise that you will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If you want light, Yes, it's hard, but you get the light. And if you're a child of the light, you know, this is the thing that Jesus asked Peter when all the other people left. And Jesus said, Peter, are you going to leave me too? You know what he said? He said, you have the words of life. Where can I go? Right? Let's summarize. God has given us his light through the Holy Spirit. We reject the false light of man. Right? We change up. We're not trying to get the likes and the approvals, okay, on social media. We're not trying to get other people from other places to approve of my lifestyle, of modesty. Not just trying to impress people. We reject that. We reject the approval and applause of people. We live to delight in God and his approval. If you crave other people's approval and applause, you don't have faith. You will not have light. And if you continue that way and then you die, God help you. At some point, you got to say, this is wrong. To give glory to God is to walk the cross-centered life, following the true light of Christ, loving others through good works. Can't get around it. And good works is good. It's not easy. But let's look at it. If you say, man, he's an awesome basketball player, is it enjoyable to be a good basketball player? Absolutely. Do you think it'll be fun to be able to dunk a basketball when you're 5'8"? It'll be absolutely fun. Not that I don't know anything about that. I'm not 5'8 either. But you know what? It takes a lot of sacrifice to be able to be. If you say, do you enjoy playing the piano? I love playing the piano. What did it take to play the piano? Lots of practice. Are you glad that you're good at enjoying the piano? Yes. Nobody is going to say no when they're good at whatever it is that they enjoy. But here's the thing. If you say, well, look, I've been there. You know, when I was taking up the violin or whatever it is, grumbling, 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 practice. No, 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 no. You know what I mean? Like, that's us, isn't it? We're not good at it. We're not good at loving people, but we sure like to complain about it. You know? But you know what? God's not going to force us to be loving. At some point, it's got to be an invitation. God, bring in your lights. God, whatever you got to do. This is my prayer, by the way, for you and my family. Whatever you got to do to make loving and good works happen. God, whatever you got to do so that we can love you properly. Got to do what you got to do, God. God, please. But you can't have just other people praying that. You got to pray for that yourself as well. You know, the question before you is, do you want to be a child of God that shines the light of God? Do you want to be that? That's the question. If the answer is yes, then prepare. Hold on. You know? And I know that some of you have experienced some of this. It's not easy, right? Because you'd rather do something else. But guess what? An athlete who'd rather do something else, or a musician who'd rather do something else, an artist who'd rather do something else, wouldn't be the artist that they are, nor would the athlete they are, nor would they, okay, be a musician that they would be. This doesn't happen that way. And all those things that I just talked about require sacrifice. That means you have to say no to certain things. And you got to roll up your sleeve. You got to kick up your cross. But if you want to do what you want to do, you want to be on your own agenda, right? Ignore the authority of God and his word. That's on you. There's discipline. But at some point, you got to say, God, I want that. God, I want that. Let's close. The question, I think, that is before all of us. Do we really want to walk in the light? Do we really want to follow Christ and take up our cross? If the answer is yes, hold on. It's going to be hard, but it's going to be good. And I pray, let's just pray and say, and just invite God to just make us children of light. Heavenly Father, God, just thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the light that you give us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ who resides in our hearts. Thanks, God. Thank you. Move in us, God, move in us as we sing and praise you and invite you, God, invite you into our lives, God, that we may walk in the light. In Jesus' name.